Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the EFES Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, welcome back to the EFES Nation Podcast. We are back in the saddle. This is episode 27. I'm your host, Chase Urich, here with the Equita Group. Glad to be back with you. And we brought back a good buddy of ours, former guest, Jeremy Gordy from Wisconsin. Jeremy, thanks for jumping on and joining us today.
Not a problem, Chase. Glad to be here.
It's always fun when we get to come together. We work so closely on a day-to-day, and then to do the podcast, it's a little bit fun, shake it up, change of pace compared to the day-to-day. But we're going to get right into it today. For those that listen into our podcast, we've got some pretty good listeners that send us messages, which is neat to hear from each and every one of them. Whether you find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever, YouTube, it's always nice to hear feedback. And so today's topic actually came from someone who had reached out talking about the struggles that agents kind of run into in our industry, whether you are a life agent, you are a Medicare, you're an annuity agent. Struggles are all somewhat similar. They typically revolve around just a few different areas. They can spin off into others as well, but today we're going to talk about the struggling agent and maybe some of the fixes that we can provide some insight on to help them go from struggling to succeeding. And who better than Jeremy Gordy to be on with me? For our audience, if you didn't see the episode where we had Jeremy on before, elite level producer back in the day when he was doing it, still gets out and knocks the dust off every once in a while and shows that he still got it. But also agency leader, mentor, and just absolute savant in our industry. So I teed you up for that one, Gordy, but not to put any pressure on you, but we're going to start off today with just talking about, one particular aspect that goes into the struggling agent and typically what they, will lead them to struggling in the industry. We're going to talk about work ethic. This is a topic that gets touched on a lot. We talk about it on morning calls. We talk about it in our training that we have in the university. You know, for you, when you first started in the business to find success, what was your mentality and your approach to making sure that you had your work ethic on point?
Yeah, and that is probably the biggest struggle, I think, for most agents is activity. We call it whether it's, all sorts of things, but it's getting beat up every single day, right? Whether you're out there, whether you're door knocking, trying to set appointments for yourself, struggling with that. Consistency is the name of the game with this industry, getting that consistent lead flow, but making sure that you're working those leads on a weekly basis. And I'll see agents that, ones that either work out of my office here, or in other organizations themselves. And it's a common thing that I hear all the time is agents who aren't in the field as long as possible, right? They may have gotten beat up all morning long, and then at 1 o'clock they're just like, it's not my day. I'm gonna head home. And I think that's kind of it's a mindset that everybody has that you need to overcome. You need to understand that we don't sell on every single person that we sit down with, but I need to give myself the opportunity, right? So focusing on going out there, seeing people, but making sure that you have that activity. If you go to a regular job, wherever it's at, you're going to put 8 hours in on that day. And you need to have the same mentality here as well. And there's a lot of days where we'll have a 10-hour day or that not giving up mentality, right? I remember actually, I think I talked to one of the builders that he was out in the field and he wasn't giving up. 8 o'clock at night, he was still in a house with somebody, making sure that he wanted to close at least one that day, right? And that's where I always take a look at activity being the biggest thing. I mean, that mindset of, I need to go out and I need to sell one policy a day, and I'm not giving up until I do, right? Because we do get beat up on a regular basis, on in this industry, so.
Yeah, I mean, perseverance. You've talked about it on many training calls, so have a few others, but you have to be somebody that understands, and we talked to some of our internal team that are brand new. It's in the training, it's in everything we talk about. You have to be able to persevere, and you have to understand But you're going to get told no a majority of the time. We always go back to the baseball analogy, it seems like, of if you take 10 at-bats, bank on failing 7 out of 10 times. And if you can win 3 out of 10, you're going to be an all-star. You know, you're going to be a Hall of Famer. If you can bet, you know, 300, 350, you're going to be in the league a long time. And that equates directly to our business as well. And like you said, perseverance. You got to have grit. You got to have determination. And you got to know going into it, I'm going to get told no. I'm going to, you know, for whatever reason that, you know, people are going to procrastinate. So that's the work ethic, to your point, absolutely has to be there. And then you touched on something that we're going to dive into now. You got to have a strategy to get out there and have that activity. Can you go out in the final expense or life insurance space and just cold door knock a neighborhood? Yes, there are people that do it and there are people that are fairly successful at it. But why put yourself through that if you don't have to? Having a strategy, a lead strategy, is a nice thing to have. So let's talk about the importance of building out, finding how many leads should I take each week? And then should I turn them off 1 week if I have some left over from the week prior? Gordy, tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and that's always a good one. That's a most agents that are out there, they're like, hey, I want to take 10 leads a week, and you know, I want to be a full-time agent. That's really not a full-time agent. I always look at a full-time agent, you're taking 25 leads every single week on a weekly basis, because really it comes down to activity. When I'm out in the field, you know, my whole goal is to sit down with anywhere from 12 to 15 of those people every week. And some of those people aren't going to be home, or I'm not going to be able to get them on the phone to set an appointment. And those are going to, you know, those 10 leads or something like that I didn't see, those are going to carry over the following week. Now, the following week, I have 35 leads, you know, to work. So my activity for the following week is going to be a little bit higher. But if you don't start out there, it's really hard to get, you know, get traction or get going unless you have a consistent lead flow, right? And that's one thing that we do provide over here for our agents. And we're very good at obviously coming up with, you know, opportunities for them to be out in the field and having a consistent lead flow. That's really the strategy that I always take a look at, is if you're a full-time agent, and if you, you know, it really comes down, we can backtrack the numbers, we can find out what they want to actually, how much they want to make per year, by obviously how many people they're going to see, and whether that's setting your own appointments, whether you have an appointment setter. But really nowadays, you know, and I could say this probably 5 years ago as well, but not everybody picks up the phone, right?
Right.
So many scam calls that are out there that are happening right now, and if they don't recognize the number, they're not picking it up. So being a hybrid between setting appointments for yourself and obviously door knocking, you know, if I have seen 15 people because I set 15 appointments, that's great. I still got 10 people I haven't seen. And it's that activity. It's that focus of, I need to be out there, and I still have these 10 people that I haven't been able to touch base with. I'm going to go door knock.
Yeah, I love one of the things that you touched on. That message is on point, and you just said it in your message there. You can literally reverse engineer and back into the numbers to show what you need to be doing. Remove the work ethic. Like we're gonna assume that that's where it needs to be, and you've committed to that, and you're gonna do it. But from an actual strategic standpoint, you can put pen to paper and you can show using averages what your expectations can be, what your targets can be, what they should be. For example, to your point of taking 25 leads a week, if I take 25 leads a week, that's going to cost me roughly, let's say, $950. It's going to cost me $950 a week. Now, using the numbers that we just mentioned, if I can go out, let's say instead of a 300 hitter, I'm hitting 250. I'm only going to close 25% of the people I see instead of 30%. If I close 25, I should come out with about 6 deals a week. Well, 6 deals a week with an average premium of, say, you know, 700 annually. Follow along if you're keeping notes here and you're listening in, do the math. If I take 25 leads a week, it's going to cost me $950. If I close 25% of those, that's 6 sales. And that's a 25% closing ratio. It could be a little bit better, maybe a little bit worse, depending on the closer you are and depending upon what part of your career you're in right now. That should roughly turn into about $4,200 a week in premium. Could be a little bit bigger if you're selling bigger premiums. Could be a little bit lower. But let's say it's about $4,200 a week in submitted premium for you. Based off of commission structure, street level contracts, what's out there, we're not going to do anything crazy. That should come out to, after advancing, about $3,600 in and I'm sorry, $2,600 in commission, almost $2,700. Now, guys, if one of the biggest things that we hear back when we ask an agent about setting goals, setting targets, what do you want to make? Sometimes that completely goes undiscussed at certain organizations. If you're not discussing what your goals are, you need to. But to Gordy's point, one thing that's very important is you need to know what you want. And so if you say, well, look, I'm working a JOB right now. I wanted to get into this business. That's why I got my license. I want to make six figures. I want to make six figures. Okay. How do we do it? I just broke down for you. 25 leads should turn into about six sales, roughly about 4,200 in submit. After you do your commission, you're advancing. You should come out to about $2,600, almost $2,700 a week. Guys, that's $10,890 in monthly income for you. Once again, I removed out the expense originally. That's what took you down to 2,700. You're making $128,000 a year doing this. You've got tax write-offs when it comes to your business expenses for leads. There's other things to factor in for tax purposes, but you can back into and reverse engineer, like Jeremy said, to find your target. If you say, I want to make $300,000, I got to take more leads, I got to make more sales. You know, I'm going to buy more leads, obviously, which is a bigger expense, but do the math. You know, figure it out. You get a good upline will be able to show you how to do that, no doubt. I know Jeremy does it on a regular basis. So we talked about strategy, having a weekly lead plan, being consistent, taking those. Don't deviate. Just because you have more leads that you didn't get to this week, don't not take leads next week or take less. I love that point, Gordy. Let's talk about continuous improvement, evolution of you, the salesperson.
You're laughing. Yeah, you and I both know this is kind of my number one thing that I love to talk about. I mean, doing the morning calls, the training calls that we do with the Equita Group, it is crucial for an agent to plug into that, right? We touch base on simplified things, the simplified part of this business with training. But, you know, we're going into more complex things as well, you know, going through objections, overcoming objections, you know, and really the agent themselves, right? I don't care who you are. You know, if you're brand new in this industry or if you've been doing this a while, if you're not practicing on a regular basis, that will show. Okay. Training is absolutely crucial. You know, with inside what we have here with the Equita Group, as far as our training platform that we have online, but having training every single day, you know, I've always mentioned, you know, that there's newer agents or even older agents, you know, they'll ask me, well, how long is your training? And I said, well, it's 365 days a year because that's what you need. Everybody, you have to keep evolving, getting better inside this industry. It is a simplified business, right? I think all of us know that, but you have to keep training yourself. You have to keep training your mind in every aspect. So.
Yeah, and to that point, I love what you said because you need to learn the basics to become functional, to be able to go out and sell. But with what you just said, I hope everybody listening in kind of lets this resonate. The learning is never ending. It never ends because if you become proficient, which hopefully we hope you do, become proficient to be able to sell in the market that you entered the business for. So if you get in for final expense, that's awesome. Like, I want to be great at that. But then at some point, you're going to want to evolve. You should want to evolve and branch into additional markets to better serve your clients. Like you, for example, Jeremy, you're proficient in not just life, but also Medicare, annuities, all different, you know, ancillary sales, hospital indemnity, cancer, heart attack, stroke, all these things you know, but that took time. And that time takes effort and a dedicated focus to, instead of watching Netflix, I'm not saying don't have a life. I'm not saying don't spend time with your family. We're not saying that. But think about the amount of time that you waste throughout the day and you kind of piddle. Or you look for an out. You look for a reason to not have to do something. That particular piece is important to know. I got to invest my time over here, which is my business. Because if you're an employee, and this is the world we live in, so I'm not going to say it's Equita. I'm not going to say it's, you know, whoever, Walmart. But employee mentality is, I'm on break. I'm going to piddle. Or I'm going to do the bare minimum to get by. That's just the way it is a lot of times in our world. For some. In this industry, our industry penalizes those people that do the bare minimum to get by. Those are the ones that are going to get chargebacks. Those are the ones that don't build good rapport. They don't button up sales. To your point, you have to invest back into yourself. As much as you invest back in your business with leads and technology, you also need to be investing back into yourself. It's huge. You have to be learning these other markets. You've got to be learning your products, know them inside and out, be that specialist. That's something that I've always admired about you, you know, because you know annuities inside and out. That it's an acquired taste and it takes time to get there. What do you think is a realistic kind of set, I don't want to say set schedule, but what would you say is kind of a winning recipe for an agent? Like, how do you go about, if I'm out in the field all day, I'm knocking on doors, I'm running appointments, I'm making sales, how do they go about acquiring that? How do they compartmentalize the time and the effort to get better in the other areas?
And that's a good question, because that's a question I get from a lot of agents. Like, I don't have time for this, right? And I'm not going to say that's not the case, because you do have time, right? I want to say there's 24 hours in a day. Use them all? No, I got to sleep also. But, you know, I can't find it right now, but, you know, a phone, right? The phone that I have, I use it for work, okay? I'm always evolving, learning new products out there, getting involved with people who understand, you know, back in the day when I didn't know anything about annuities, because I got some great stories on that. You know, when I first started, I didn't know nothing. I was an idiot, I'll be honest. But to learn it, right? I wanted to learn it. I got really excited about, you know, the first prospect that actually I had an annuity, prospect sitting in front of me. I wanted to make sure I learned. Not, I mean, I could have had somebody else help me out and help me sell it, but I wanted to learn it. And that really comes down to just the passion of it. So whatever your passion is, whether you want, you know, want to learn annuities, whether you want to learn Medicare, whether you want to learn, you know, hospital indemnity plans that are out there, you need to take the time and you need to have somebody that does know it very proficiently help you out with that, right? You need to find a master in that, because the only way to become a master is to learn from somebody who does it right now, who does it on a high level, high grade right now. You need to make sure that you have that. So the same type of thing with final expense. When somebody starts out in there, you know, yeah, we can put all the training, you can put it all online and you can look at it. And again, there's tons of stuff on YouTube, not all of it good. But, you know, we always take a look at what's going to evolve. How are you going to evolve with your career over time? You know, do you want to add Medicare into it? Well, that's great. You know, find somebody who does final expense and Medicare compliantly, because that's the person I want to learn from. And the same type of thing, you know, adding annuity products into it, you know, it's going out, it's asking a few extra questions, you know, with the clients themselves. But when you find that, have somebody help you sell it and focus on learning that product when you're talking with them. Because there are, you know, even with annuities, even with Medicare, right, there's a lot of different ways to build them out for clients and have an understanding of it. And you need to make sure that you learn it correctly. That's going to advance you a lot faster.
So with what you just said, I love it. I was actually kind of making a note when you were talking about that, in terms of that continuous improvement, that educating yourself. To the point we were talking about in terms of evolving, but also kind of taking things to the next level. One thing I'll throw out there to you is, when we were talking about sales per week, this goes directly into what you talked about on previous podcasts, which is, I mentioned just a second ago, if you can go out, take 25 leads, make, you know, close 25% of them, that's going to be 6 sales. To your point that you made on the previous podcast, also when it comes to cross-selling, 6 sales a week is going to turn into 288 life sales on an annual basis. What happens if you educate yourself on how to better serve that client? Let's say you just, on half of those life sales, you can turn those into Medicare opportunities. That's 144 Medicare plans that you're able to put on the books, hopefully. That gets you to 500 Medicare clients, a 6-figure residual, in around 3 to 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. So for those that are listening in, like, why should I do it? Like, oh, I'm really good at what I do here. You're stepping over dollars to pick up pennies is the phrase that typically comes to mind, but you're missing out on opportunities. And then I know you've helped quite a few people within Equita, a lot of people within your group as well, that had no idea about the annuities. Like you were just mentioning, you first started out, I knew nothing, but it only takes a couple of annuities, 1, 2, 3 annuities. You can pop those on an annual basis. And from an income opportunity perspective, that could be $30,000, $50,000, $100,000+ that goes right back into your bottom line and obviously your revenue stream to build your business. it's worth it, I guess, is my whole point of rambling about it. It's worth it.
Yeah, it absolutely is. When I always took a look at when I was writing annuities on a regular basis, and all on the exact same lead that I was getting before, right, goes on my bottom line. Really, the way I equated it was, hey, I have a lead expense bill every single year, and I know what's going to be there, right? So I spend X amount of dollars on my leads all the time. If I'm able to convert a small portion of that, maybe one annuity a month, and have my entire lead bill paid off by the end of the year, or that pays my entire lead bill, that just gives me more revenue in the end, right? But really, I don't have to worry about that lead bill. And that was kind of the way I always equated it in my head when I was on the field all the time. And the same type of thing with Medicare, right? You know, if I'm seeing the exact same client on these leads, and I'm able to convert those over to Medicare sales and start building a residual income for myself, that residual income actually pays, not only does it pay me income, right, but it also pays for my entire lead bill. So being proficient in a couple different, products that are going to help you advance your career, not only just doing funnel expense alone. And if you do that, if you just do funnel expense, that's certainly fine. But if you're looking at adding other products onto it, find somebody that's actually going to help you out learn that.
And if you're coming from the W-2 background, like if this is your first venture into independence, like 1099, you're a business owner. If this is your first venture into it, I want to kind of put it in perspective. If you work for a company, typically, you're going to have an annual review. They're going to look at your performance, and they're going to give you a 3-4% raise, God willing. How do I, as a business owner, give myself a raise? Well, number one, I find my starting point. I get successful. I build my business. I'm doing well. How do I give myself a raise? You expand. You scale. One way to scale in our industry is becoming diversified. The more value offerings you can provide to a client, the better you're going to be. And we're in a unique position. As once again, think about who you're listening from here. Like this is, we're giving you some of our secret sauce away. And even if you don't work with us, we're giving you nuggets here. If you're in the final expense space and you're not selling Medicare, you are literally missing out. You want to give yourself a raise. You want to make more money. You need to be cross-selling. You need to be able to help that client with their Medicare needs as well as their life needs. And then, like Jeremy mentioned on previous podcasts, you need to be asking about lazy money. Is there an opportunity for you to help them with a potential annuity? You want to know how to give yourself a raise. I'm going to say it for the third time. This is how you do it. You evolve. Now, it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take energy. You've got to learn these things. And it's going to take all those things I just mentioned, but it's worth it. Now, if you want to be somebody who's, 55, 60 years old in the industry, relying on life renewals, good luck. You know, you're going to make some money. You're going to have a nice renewal stream there, but it's not what it could be if you would have taken that extra step to jump in. The other part is, Gordy, I've heard you say this before, and I'll credit you. It's never too late. So if you're somebody listening in, you're not getting verbally chastised here. Like if you've been selling final expense for 20 years and you've never sold Medicare, or you've never investigated, it's okay. It's actually probably, it's not a bad thing. You've probably got a great book of business that you can go back to and help some people, but it's never too late to get in and change. It doesn't mean you had to start your career doing both. Most don't, but it's okay. It's never too late to get in. So I want to throw that out there on top of what you just mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, and kind of to your point, Chase, as well, you know, agents that we've all talked to a lot of them before, but agents that have done final expense and that's all they've done, and then they wind up, I don't want to say, we want them to expand their business, right? Because we want to show them more so an easier way of doing this, which is adding maybe Medicare into it. And if you haven't done it, I got news for you. When you do, because really you should, if you're doing final expense, you should be doing Medicare. If you do that, you're going to go, I wish I'd have done this 2 years ago.
Yep.
So
there's no doubt. I mean, and that's a good thing because that means you're actually thinking about it now. Like, all right, I'm entertaining the idea. Everything passed the smell test. And this is going to be something that our producer, Jim's probably going to clip, not to steal the spotlight from Gordy. I'm not putting a proclamation out there that this is the highlight for YouTube when we put our shorts on. But I'm going to throw this out there to you. As I said before, and Gordy just solidified, it's never too late to do it. But here's why we give the secret sauce away in terms of telling you, hey, this is our winning recipe. I'm going to hit you with this right now. Why do we give it away? because it's not, you can talk about wanting to do it, but at the end of the day, you have to have a mentor and you have to have somebody who's already successfully done it. So there's a lot of groups out there that can train you and show you how to sell Medicare, but they don't know how to sell life insurance. There's some groups that can show you how to sell life insurance and they have no idea about Medicare. That's one of the cool, unique things about us. And I'm not cutting a promo here. I'm not cutting a promo on Equita, but that's one of the cool parts about us. We know how to do both. So if you're somebody in the life insurance space, you want to get in Medicare, we can help you. And we also have the perspective and we know what you go through on a daily basis for life insurance. We know that. We've done it. If you're a Medicare agent looking to sell life insurance, we've already done that as well. We're selling Medicare and we know all about the life side. We can help you. So it doesn't really matter for us. It works either way. But if you're listening and you think, oh, I'm going to go call my mentor and, you know, ask him to teach me how to cross sell and organically do this, good luck. Now, we have people reach out to us every day. I hope your mentor knows how to do it and he can help you. But we have people reach out to us every day and they're just like, man, I'm selling a boatload of Medicare. I need to learn how to sell life insurance. My mentor doesn't know how to do it. Well, we got you. You know, Jeremy Gordy knows how to do it. We got a lot of people that know how to do it. So if you're listening in this, I'm not saying steal this as the short, Jim, and turn it into the highlight for YouTube. But that nugget right there for you is, I hope your mentor knows how to do both. If he doesn't, give us a call. We'll help you out. And that also wasn't meant to be a recruiting ad. So to keep this train moving, Gordy, I want to talk about another aspect of the business that agents struggle with. And this one to me is something we talk about it as well not every day on our morning call, but we talk about it periodically, which is important. Money management. Wow. Goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. And as somebody who has a son who was a former college athlete, he was playing football and not anymore. He decided to get into the business, even after dear old dad told him not to. Go do something else, get some life experiences. He jumped right in. I'm happy for him, obviously. But money management, it doesn't matter if you are 70 years old or you are 20 years old. You can get ruined in this business if you don't have good money management. Gordy, how did you survive? How did you manage your money when you first got going? You first started making more money in one day than most make in a week.
Yeah, and I love to say that, hey, I knew how to do this right off the bat. I didn't. It was something that I was taught. More so, you know, I was putting money aside. The age old saying, you know, live poor and obviously be rich. You know, I still spend my money, right? And I still have fun. We go out there, we do what we do. But don't spend your money, right? Put that aside. You may need it for a rainy day. We get chargebacks in this industry, and it's the one thing everybody hates, right? But if you're able to go, you know what? I have the funds over here. I get a chargeback. I'm just going to go write business and, you know, get that paid off. But I can still pay myself from this pool of money over here, right? I pay myself a salary every single month, you know, every week. But you know, on a monthly basis, just divide that by four and that's what I get paid. But it all goes into one pool. It's, you know, it goes into a business account. This is what it is. And I pay myself a salary that pays my bills, right? And gives us a little bit of fun money. But this is what needs to happen. You know, I need to have that pool of money because if something does happen, I can just pay that off right away and I don't have to worry about it. That's the money management aspect, I think, is a big thing of why a lot of agents do fail in this business, right? They start getting chargebacks, but they went out and bought the new vehicle. They went off. That time comes, you know, where you can go out and you can just pay for a vehicle. You can do that, but save it up. Pay for it in cash. You know, it will happen. It just doesn't have to be today, right? You can look at this as down the road. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to upgrade some of the things that I do have, whether it be the house, whether it be the car, whether getting a boat, whatever it is. You can do that down the road, but that's not something that when you first get in this business and you start writing, you know, 5-6 policies, you know, a week right away and going, hey, I got $10,000 in my bank account and it's gone because I just went out and put a big down payment on my vehicle and all of a sudden I get a charge back and, oh no, now I don't have the money. Well, why'd you spend it in the beginning? I don't want to make it sound, you know, mean or anything like that, but money management is a big part of this industry. You have to do it correctly. You have to set money aside. You have to put in a bank account, you know, for a rainy day, and have that bank account continue to grow for yourself and pay yourself a salary out of that.
Yeah, it's to that point, there's a few things to unbox on that that you touched on and we hear about, we teach on a regular basis. We've heard stories of, once again, someone, you know, coming from a different line of work, and they get into the business, things go good, maybe for a few weeks, maybe a month, and it's like, I'm going to go throw down. I got to get a new car. I want a new car. I don't need a new car. Like, the car they got to and from to make the money, that ride until the wheels fall off, save that money, because to your point, Gordy, this business has peaks and valleys. There are great times, and then there are slow times. And when those chargebacks hit, and they will, to what you said, we know this, inevitably they will hit. What are you going to do? Are you going to just try and go outright it? Are you going to try and, you know, what are you going to do? You don't want to get caught between a rock and a hard place financially in this business, because if, when it comes down to it, if I should never be in a situation where I have to choose between paying my bills and paying for leads, paying for my marketing. You should always have that kitty, that buffer built up to where you can do your thing. And we just see far too often agents that come to us and they're like, hey, you know, this is, I'm struggling over here doing this, this, and this. The organization they're with is good. There's nothing wrong with them necessarily. It's that they weren't taught money management. And we're not asking you to be an economics major. We're not asking you to be, you know, a licensed financial advisor, but taking some of the basic fundamentals and the teachings that we throw out there about putting money away. Hey, first goal, let's get 10 grand in the bank account. Let's get 10 grand saved up. Then let's get to 20. Then let's get to 30. Whatever your ending point is as an individual agent, let's hit that as a goal. Let's continue to put money in the piggy bank there. But it's a non-negotiable. Like, we don't dip into that to go to Aruba for 2 weeks when you are just getting yourself established. You have no residuals. You don't have anything really concrete in place. You're still finding your way. Kicking it over to you, Gordy, how did you go about structuring out, because I'm sure it's different now than it was when, you know, different now than when you first started. What did you do? Anything you want to share with anybody out there about your goals? Like, what were you trying to put in the bank account when you first got going as an agent?
Yeah, when I first, so I come from a little bit of a different background, and I know I've told you the story, plenty of other people the story before as well, but I came from a welding job. I was almost 18 years into welding and doing that full time. And I was actually making really good money. So when I decided, obviously, I wouldn't want to be a welder anymore and obviously change, you know, more so my health issues and, you know, or health concerns for future, and wanted to kind of go into, you know, I needed to find a career that was going to be beneficial for not only for myself, but for my family. So when I started off in this, yeah, my goal, you know, we all hear about, you know, I want to go out there and I want to write, you know, $2,000-$3,000. Well, that wasn't my goal, right? My goal was to go out there and write $6,000-$7,000 a week, every single week consistently. And how do I do that? Now, obviously, getting, you know, LinkedIn with a great organization. When I first got started and writing that consistent aspect, that came down to having leads, right? I had to pay for leads, and I knew that up front, but having people to go see. That was my goal, is to sit down with as many people. And again, when I first started off in this, I knew the basics. It was, you know, I didn't know anything else besides what I was taught. This is what you say. That was it. So writing that, writing $20,000, and then doing it again the next month, and doing it again the next month. And again, in my head, I went, this works very nicely. I'm good with it. But, you know, it does come back to money management. It was, we didn't spend that money. You know, I knew that there was a chance that there was chargebacks that could happen. I wanted to make sure that I was putting that money away, I put it in the bank account, and I was just paying myself exactly what I was making before as a W-2, because we were living comfortably off of that. And that way, my bank account grew drastically really quick, right? Now, you know, obviously, I gave myself increases down the road and good ones. You know, I made a lot more than the 3% I was getting, you know, on my bonus, right? You know, on my yearly review, and here's a 3% bonus. I gave myself a lot more. I was almost like a 30% bonus I gave myself, which is great. But it came down, obviously, putting that money in the bank for, you know, for a later time frame. But yeah, it's consistent and that lead flow, right? You know, having that lead flow, having those people to go see on a regular basis, I had to have that coming in. So I knew I was going to spend, you know, and at that point in time, leads were a lot less. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, you know, how leads were, but you know, if I was spending $900 a week for the leads, I need to go out and convert those over. And the faster I can do that, the faster obviously my bank account's going to start growing again, because I know that $1,000 is already gone.
Exactly.
So, that is kind of the way this business does run.
It's kind of weird. Like some we'll talk to some agents that reach out, and when we talk about leads with them, it's our fault. We take it for granted. I say our fault, internally our fault. I tell our account executives, like, don't take it for granted. But like our knowledge base about leads and how important they are to your business, being the lifeblood, having activity, we take for granted sometimes, though, like with agents that'll call in. So we want to kind of stay grounded with it, that there are organizations that don't really educate on the marketing aspect of your business. And so it's like some of them are like, hey, go talk to your friends and your family, try and sell them and then get them to refer people to you. The marketing aspect of your business has to be on point. You have to have people to see and places to go. And to your point, that's also going to be just a necessary expense. So it's a cost of doing business. It's no different than if you owned a convenience store. You got to have sodas in the cooler. You got to have chips on the shelf. You got to have gas in the pumps. It's a cost of doing business. So with that being said, Gordy, to recap, so we can break, stay kind of on point here. We talked about the struggles today. It all starts with work ethic. You can luck into some success in this business by just outworking certain deficiencies, of course, but then you want to start kind of evolving from there. You want to start you want to make sure you have a strategy, a system, like we like to say, that you can tap into to be successful. I get leads every week. I go out, rinse, repeat, do it over, you know, each and every week, do it all over again. You want to have training. You want to have a mentor that you can be able to kind of pour it into on the spot while you're with a client. Off the clock while you're working. But then also when you start making some money, being able to manage that money is so critical. Anything you want to throw out there to the audience as a parting shot before we say goodbye?
No, I mean, that's really the nuts and bolts of the business, obviously. You know, when you take a look at that struggle of, hey, I got to spend leads, you know, money on leads every single week. That's probably the one thing that agents struggle with the most, right? Converting those over, having a mentor that's going to help you grow. You may not know everything right away, which 100% you're not going to. It takes years of, you know, training, obviously, to get to the point where, you know, you have the knowledge base of whether it be Medicare, you know, annuities, or final expense. But, you know, evolving yourself, your presentation, the way you're talking with clients, you know, that does take time, but you need to have somebody that's going to be helping you out with that. On a weekly, daily basis, where you can actually have that conversation with them, you know, whether it's at 10 o'clock at night when I'm sitting there talking with an agent who was, you know, had a struggling day, right? And having that person that they can reach out to, you need to have that mentorship. And then money management, right? The money management is, if you don't know how to, manage money at this point in time with your business, find somebody who is successful at doing that. Somebody that's been in this industry a long time, not just, hey, I've been in this for 3 months and, you know, look at what I'm making. No, you're going to get ups and downs, peaks and valleys with inside this industry. And you need to make sure that you're focused on, I'm good, right? Getting 5 years worth of my bills paid off and or have it sitting in the bank so that I don't have to worry about if something were to happen, I'm good for the next 5 years.
Good stuff. Appreciate you jumping on with me today. I know you're always willing to do it. And if you're listening in, if you'd like to learn more, you want to talk to Jeremy Gordy, hit us up. Go to theequitygroup.com. There's a contact us page. Submit your info. There's a little notes section. You can also say, hey, I want to talk to Jeremy Gordy. I want to be working with that guy. I want to learn more about what he does. Or if you want to learn more about the holistic cross-sell, how are we successfully showing agents to become great in life, great in Medicare, great in annuities? We welcome that opportunity to talk to you. It's theequitagroup.com, EQUITA group.com. Look forward to talking to you. Gordy, I'll see you soon at the AEP kickoff event, my man.
Absolutely. Have a great one.
Thanks for listening to the EFES podcast. For more, visit EFESNation.com and subscribe to the podcast catalog on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.